Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Happy to be back here again with you today as we dive into Jesus' words to us and to his disciples about what it really means to follow him. What does it mean to walk in his path? What does it mean to begin to look like him? What does it mean to be transformed in the power of the Spirit? And what does it mean to actually live a true life of discipleship? That's where we began yesterday as we took up Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, the very famous words of Jesus: whoever would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we began to just look at those three things at a glance. And over the next couple days, we want to dive into each of these elements. But we ended our time yesterday. I want to encourage you to go back and listen as we set up this passage. We ended our time yesterday with a big question. And maybe you're driving into work and you're listening to this at 6:45 a.m. and you're like, it's too early to consider these big of questions. Maybe you're listening in your kitchen and your kids are running around you. But the Lord wants to bring these questions up in our hearts, friends, because so much of our life can just take over and we can begin to drift. We can begin to put our hope and our trust in things that are shallow. We can begin to prioritize all of these things that seem important, And they are, they do have some level of importance, but the most important thing, the thing that's been convicting me day after day after day, I feel like, honestly, here in our community where I live in Ann Arbor, I feel like I've been going to a funeral every week. There's been so many deaths, so many sudden deaths. But the thing that I've been, that's been so powerful to me, is every single person has been ready to meet the Lord. And it's just impressed upon me. And as we're walking with our young people here and having these deep conversations about the Lord, it's just like there's no time for drifting, because the only thing that matters is heaven. The only thing that matters is following him with our whole hearts. So wherever you're at today, whether you're like, I'm there with you, that's in my heart, or like, I have 10 million things on my to-do list to get done before I even pray, like you don't even know what's going on in my life, we want to every day consider the question, to push the other things to the periphery and put the central question that Jesus puts to us in this passage, which is, are you willing to lose your life? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to let go of your plans and your ideas and your life so that I can give you true eternal life? And that's what Jesus is asking his disciples. It's what he's asking us, and it's what we're building out as we enter into God's word today. So we're going to begin and pray with Psalm 43. Again, we begin a book 42 of the Psalms. We already got through book one. And so I think we skipped around a little bit because sometimes I couldn't remember where we left off. But anyway, we're in Psalm 43. We're just going to open with the psalm, and then we're going to again take up Matthew chapter 16. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against ungodly people. From deceitful and unjust men deliver me. For thou art the God in whom I take refuge. Why hast thou cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. Jesus, send forth your light and your truth in this moment as we open your word, but also in our lives and our day. Send forth your light and your truth and let them be our guide. Bring us, use your light and your truth to bring us to your holy mountain, to your holy dwelling place, to the place where you reside. We want to be with you. We want to see you. We want to know you. Bring us safely home. Speak to our souls. Bring hope to our souls, Lord God. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've talked about before reading the Psalms and having a line meditate in our hearts. And there were so many that were standing out here, particularly that one, like literally throughout the day, speaking to your soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within you? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. Speak to your soul today. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. You have to encourage yourself to hold on to hope. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go back to Matthew 16. I'm going to read the passage again, and then we're going to dive in a little bit. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Again, such an amazing passage. And we began yesterday to go over these three elements that Jesus says. He says, do you want to come after me? Anyone who comes after me must do these things. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. First of all, we want to build on those three things. That first, denying himself, death to self. The act of giving over our lives. And the scripture speaks of this so much. Self-denial over and over again. Jesus says it again in Mark chapter 8. He says, whoever wants to be my disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross. In Luke, he says it again. In Galatians, we hear Paul saying, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Romans 6, the old self has been crucified. Colossians 3, for you have died and now your life is hidden with God. We could go on over and over and over again, but the base, friends, of the spiritual life, because what's happening, and I've been reading this amazing book called Renovation of the Heart by a Christian author named Dallas Willard. He was a Protestant man, but he's very much like C.S. Lewis in the fact that I really believe that if he would have lived long enough like C.S. Lewis, he would have become Catholic, you know, like C.S. Lewis just died before he could become Catholic. But he's this amazing spiritual writer, and he uses Catholic spirituality, but he talks about the process of spiritual formation, and he uses a lot of St. Francis's work. And to say when we're baptized, we enter into an orderly process of spiritual formation in which we're beginning to be transformed into the image of Christ. And this is what Jesus is laying out for us in this passage. And spiritual formation begins with self-denial. And so why does Jesus start with self-denial? Because he knows our inclination. He knows what we're coming from, that each one of us is born. We're born in the image. We're made in the image and likeness of God. But because of our sin, the likeness that we have of God is marred. And we have concupiscence, and we're born, as Paul says, children of wrath. This is before we're baptized. And we have an inclination to self-worship, to make ourselves our own God, right? Because everybody wants a God. We're meant to worship something. And so our inclination is to worship ourselves. And I love this quote from the book of the Renovation at the Heart. He talks about how we naturally wake up every day and we make ourselves the center of our lives. We make ourselves the center of our stories. He says this, we must not make ourselves and our survival the ultimate point of reference in our world. We must not, in effect, treat ourselves as God should be treated or treat ourselves as God. Thus, Paul shockingly said, covetousness is self-idolatry, for it makes my desires paramount. It means I would take what I want if I could. To defeat covetousness, we learn to enjoy the benefits that others do. So we rejoice that other people have benefits. And so we have to enter into a process of self-denial. We have to deny our own ego. We have to deny ourselves, because what we're seeing in the world and what we're pulled into is to say, I need to be in charge of my own happiness. I need to be in charge of my own life. I need to be successful. I need to be popular. I need to form my own identity. And I have to hold so tightly because I'm essentially worshiping myself. And Jesus says the pathway to this, to worship me as God, is not self-worship, but self-denial. So we have that first building block, friends, that God is calling us away. And some of you may be thinking, like, I have really low self-esteem. I don't even like myself. How can I worship myself? But it's not even in this way to say, I'm so great, not that kind of self-worship, but to wake up and say, I'm so concerned when I walk into a room about how I feel. Constantly, my emotional traffic is overtaking me, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to get what I want. I'm thinking about who likes me. I'm thinking about what I can get. I'm thinking about my own life, my own successes, when really God and others should be the center of our lives. And we all have this. I have these places in my own heart where I want to be God, not because I think I'm so great, but because it's the pull of my own heart, the pull of my own humanity. And so Jesus says the first step in following me is you have to stop exalting yourself and begin to exalt me. And the way to do that is self-denial. I love, again, that book, Renovation of the Heart. He says one of the great dangers of spiritual formation is that self-denial and death to self will be taken as one more technique or job for those who wish to save their own lives. Self-denial will then externalize itself in overt practices of group identity that may seem very sacrificial, but can leave the mind of the flesh in full control. So what really is self-denial? It's not like giving up a general list of things of saying, okay, you can't live in a big house, you can't buy coffee for yourself, you have to have raggedy clothes, you know, all these different things. And I think we do this. We see the lives of the saints and we're inspired by their ascetic practices and we just kind of take them on as our own without discernment. But the goal of self-denial is not to do external practices, it's to starve our flesh. It's to starve those places in our flesh because we're trying to kill our own ego with the help of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to die to that thing in our flesh that says, my way, my way, my way. And so we have to enter into a process of self-denial. But because of our own pride, it's so easy to just take on random practices and say, well, yeah, I'm giving this up. So interesting, I not that long ago for a novena that I was doing, gave up coffee. And it was funny because I was like, one of my friends was encouraging me to fast. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to fast from? And I heard coffee come in my mind. And I was like, haha, that's so funny. Definitely not. And then the Lord was like, well, maybe that's the thing that I want you to fast from. And I have this whole process of like making coffee, like it's part of my morning routine, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do coffee for 9 days. What did I do though? I went on Amazon and I ordered like this special matcha, which is like a green tea. And I got all the tools to prepare it in like a particular way. And then I spent a couple days like doing this high level preparation of this different drink in the morning. And the Lord convicted me in prayer. And it wasn't like I was sinning, friends. But he says, you've just transferred that grasping, that obsession of your flesh to something different. And so the goal wasn't like, oh, I'm not having coffee anymore. The goal was to get to that place where I was attached to doing something in the morning that held some of my security that wasn't just the Lord. And you see how small it is? And again, it wasn't a sin, but the Lord is saying, you just transferred this attachment and the goal was for you to leave an open space from like the preparation of the coffee so that I could come in that place and be your security, but you just transferred that to something else and your flesh was still in control. And so as we end our time today thinking about self-denial, I want you to ask, where is my flesh in control? Not about these external practices, but Lord, where is my flesh in control? We're going to pick this back up tomorrow as we continue. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.